This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Mother has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're in day three this week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're going to continue today an inspiring, informative conversation we've had with Mary Hager. Mary is a sister I met years ago, 7 years ago, at our evangelization school that we put on, Renewal Ministries put on here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Catholic Evangelization School, and she was deeply inspired by the content there and went home to a place where she had been a director of religious education for at least 2 decades at various levels, been very active in every aspect of the life of the church, and longed to see the new evangelization that Pope John Paul II had spoken about so many times and hadn't really seen it happen in her parish or in her area, and came back from the evangelization school with deep conviction that the Lord wanted to bring that about in her parish. And she shared with us yesterday, having met with her pastor, she proposed to change all the courses that they put together in the parish and have as the fundamental goal of every single course in the parish to bring people to a fresh encounter with Jesus, to help bring them to conversion, to help people understand what conversion meant, a real evangelization to precede catechesis. And it's an amazing story, and Mary's going to continue it today. Welcome back, Mary.
Thank you very much indeed. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being with us. And I've heard this story so many times, I could hear it, you know, once a week. It's so good. So you were talking to your pastor, and he said, look, I'll discern. You go ahead and do what you think you need to do, and I'll sort of keep an eye on it, make sure we're heading down the right course, and then what happened from there?
That's exactly right. Well, first of all, we gathered a group of like-minded people, and we just threw ourselves before the Lord and prayed for the evangelization of our churches. And then we enlisted prayer from all kinds of groups and prayer chains and convents and monasteries in the United States and outside the United States.
You covered the globe,
to
huh?
support us in prayer.
Yeah.
And then I guess the bottom line is we decided to look at ourselves as environment architects. Since it is true that if I point to the cross, Jesus is the one who's doing the work, we needed to stop working so hard. I know that sounds kind of silly, but that was absolutely true. To become environment architects, we just set up a nice environment and we issue invitations for people to offer their heart and their life over to the Lord in every area of church life, in every age group, in every arena, and see what happens. See if we were actually doing a test for the Renewal Ministry School of Evangelization. If what they said is true, then people are going to change. It's a test. It's very simple. Either the proclamation of the kerygma will change people's lives or it won't.
And the kerygma, is basically like Acts 2, where Peter on Pentecost, when the apostles were touched in the upper room, and Mary and others, and they came out and began to proclaim the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and the proclamation that he's the Lord and Savior of the world, and that the kingdom of God was at hand. It's time for every one of us to turn our hearts toward the Lord and to acknowledge it, to repent, like Peter says, to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And if the scripture, if I am lifted up, I'm the one who's going to draw people to myself, then our job should be relatively simple. Throw on some tablecloths, put a candle on the table, and issue invitations to groups of people. And that's all we did.
Isn't that an amazingly simple
insight?
It's so
simple.
It's almost like it goes by you year after year after year, and all of a sudden it dawns on you at a certain point. You say, wait a minute, this is God's work, and I'm cooperating with something that God is doing and God wants to do. And I just need to help bring people to him. I just need to help present him to people and let that encounter happen instead of trying to stir it all up in my own energy and have a lot of anxiety about making it happen and making everything perfect and doing all the right things. I trust, and I know in my heart, because I've met the Lord, I know the Lord in a personal way, that if people meet him and they meet him through the proclamation of the gospel, their lives will be changed. He will be faithful. He will be there. He will reveal himself to them. So
it's deceptively simple, and it's shockingly true. as each year went by, we were just stunned. And we'd say, it's true, it's true. And nobody knows it, you know?
Yeah.
We have to go and tell everybody. So we would put these environments in all arenas of church life. We started by making sure that all of our teachers had gone through the Alpha course, had had that moment of surrender of their life to Jesus Christ. And then on our Holy Spirit weekend, we're just filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and all their anointing that they would need. Well, after that, we hardly had to do anything. They went home and said, I have to change my classroom. I have to make sure that in every class, regardless of the grade, age appropriately, every class, there has to be some faith sharing and that moment of everybody close your eyes and let's see how wide our heart is open to the person of Jesus. They just went and did it themselves because they had already had that experience.
And so as you were doing that, you did it with the teachers and they went and did it in the classroom and then you started developing the different pieces and then conversion started happening with people. I mean, I remember you showing us like a binder full of testimonies of people who literally had been away from the church for a long time or hadn't been to confession in 35 years, this kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about how all of that began to happen.
First of all, we did all this in the religious education arenas around our churches. And then we started to use the Alpha course just to invite adults, anybody who wants to come from any church, from any denomination, from any area in or out of church life. Since that was the case, and it wasn't just a Catholic event, many people came. And among those people were Catholics who had been away from the church for a very long time for a lot of reasons. And they were looking for a way back to find the big empty hole there, to find a way to fill that. And when they realized that we weren't going to necessarily make them Catholics at the moment, we only wanted them to be disciples of Jesus, they were, as one person said, I got sucked right in.
Yeah. Tell us just some stories, if you could, about what these people encountered and how it changed their lives.
Yeah, so one person in particular that I'm thinking of today, his own testimony says he had not darkened a Catholic church door since high school. He is 62 years old today. And because of a lot of hurt, he left the church. His wife would have nothing to do with the church. All his children not attend church. He went through the Alpha course just trying to figure out, why am I so empty and why do I have no peace of God in my life? Went on the Holy Spirit weekend and had a profound life change. Driving home from the weekend, he called the pastor of our local church and said, my name is, and I know you don't know me, but I've been away from the church for many years, and I need to go to confession. Is tomorrow okay? And, of course, Father said, absolutely. That would have been a Monday. He went to confession the very next day, and over 5 years, brought back his wife, all his children, all his grandchildren. And kind of the reason I'm thinking of him is right now, this very day, the Lord knew where his life was going, and 2 months ago, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which and had a life expectancy of just a couple of months. And his wife told me, she said, Mary, if God hadn't led us to find him and to find our way back to the church, we would all be sucked down in the deep, dark hole of quicksand. Here's a young, fairly young, vibrant, healthy guy who is going to be with the Lord in a very short time indeed.
Well, that's a very, very inspiring story. And that's one of, I remember, some 600 different testimonies that happened over a five-year period. And you had mentioned earlier in the week in your particular parish, prior to this change happening, you and the work you were doing in evangelization, the school you were leading was closing, attendance was really low, you couldn't get anybody to sign up to be on a committee to help out at the parish. I mean, it was just a kind of a spiraling down situation. Just a little bit about how some of these individual changes, how it impacted the parish and what the parish looks like today in comparison to where it was at.
Just a dramatic transformation. If you can, think of the proclamation of the gospel as leaven or yeast in some lumps of dough. If you can get the yeast through all the lumps of dough of parish life over 5 or 6 or 7 years, the entire parish springs to life. Examples of that are the school that was closing has a waiting list now in almost every grade.
How many kids are in the school now?
You know what? I'd say around 200.
Yeah, and you were at 63 and closing the door before all this, and now you have a waiting list.
Yes, yeah. And Sunday masses are standing room only. But what this conversion model has done is our daily masses are almost full. Don't miss daily mass if they
seriously
can possibly.
When you say almost full, like how many people are coming? Just out of curiosity.
There would be 400 or 500 people.
At daily mass?
And they take off work and they arrange their work schedule to be
my
at mass.
My goodness, praise the Lord.
We
That's
built
amazing.
A 24/7 Eucharistic chapel and everybody said, we'll never be able to staff that 24/7. Well now, because it's a small church out in the middle of nowhere, you can go into that chapel at any hour of the day or night, and there won't be one person in there. There'll be 4, 5, or 10, and that means 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. There were waiting lists to be chairpersons of every committee.
Now that's a miracle.
But the finances were huge. Back at that beginning story, our silent auction in support of the school had raised, I believe, $13,000, $14,000. And our last silent auctions have raised $95,000 to $98,000 with people buying things like tiles in the floor, if that's the money that they had in order to support the life of the church community.
That's something. You know, one of the things that does get revealed that pastors often in these kind of situations like is they realize that converted people give more generously. I mean, people who've really come to know the Lord and trust Him, that relationship produces peace and confidence in our heart and security. We start to move from having our security and identity and other things. And as the Lord, as it goes from our head to our heart, and He comes alive as a person in our lives, we begin to be rooted in the security of that relationship. And then we're in a better place. We're free to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, which is exactly what you're describing is happening in your parish.
Exactly. I think people are so stunned at the magnitude of the gift. Here they thought, you know, if I do enough things, God will be pleased with me. The gift is so humongous that they have to give back. So the first thing they give back is money, just because they don't know yet how to offer service. So the first thing they do is take out their billfold.
That's amazing. Mary, can I get one more day out of you? Can you come back tomorrow and continue the story?
Absolutely true.
There's so much here to talk about.
Yes.
I thank you so much for joining us. It is very, very inspiring. And I think the truth is that what's happened in Mary's parish and in the many parishes you'll hear about tomorrow that have been touched in the same way, connected to the same work that she's been involved in, that kind of life can emerge in any parish, anywhere in the world, anywhere in this country, because it comes down to trusting in the power of the gospel, the person of Jesus Christ, surrendering to Him, leading people to encounter Him personally in their lives. That's what produces change. And it's life-transforming change, and it's permanent change by the grace of God. That's the call the Lord has for each and every one of us. May it open our hearts to it for the praise of His glory. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.